Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Chav Vav, the 126th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. And this is one of the most famous Mizmorim in Tehillim because we see it so often. This is Shir HaMaalos B'Shuv Hashem Es Shivas Tzion Hayinu Kecholmim. We say this at so many meals before we bench, and it is well known to us almost off by heart. It is the Psalm of Like Dreamers, Hayinu Kecholmim. Let's take a look at this and perhaps look at it with renewed eyes. We say the words so often, but sometimes we forget what's actually going on, or we never stopped to look in the first place. It is made up of six psukim broken into equal sections. The first three psukim are thanksgiving about the past, and the last three psukim are about prayer for the future. In fact, each of the two sections start with the same general description. Pasuk Aleph begins Shir HaMaalos, this is the song of ascent, B'Shuv Hashem Es Shivas Tzion, when Hashem returns, those who could the return of Zion. And Pasuk Dalet, which begins the second section, is Shuvah Hashem Es Shevisenu, return Hashem our Shevus. In terms of the theme, it should be noted that there seems to be a shift in the actual tense. The first section seems to be generally in the past. B'Shuv Hashem Es Shivas Tzion, when Hashem returned, the return of Zion, Hayinu Kechomim, then we were like dreamers. Higdil Hashem la'asosimonu, Hashem did make good or great with us or with them. And this is talking about the past. And therefore all the Oz Yomru or Oz Yimale in the first section are in a certain sense a participle looking backwards. Whereas the second section seems to be either a command or the future. Shuvah Hashem Eshivosenu. Please Hashem return our lost ones, the ones who are in exile. So there seems to be a shift over here. And to understand this shift, the Da'at Mikra suggests one of two ways of looking at this. Perhaps we're looking at past salvations and to project them and hope that they will be future. Or it could be even more integrated, where we're in the middle of a salvation, where it seems like Hashem is on our side and is showing us explicit divine providence, but then it seems to stop, it slows down. We get the state of Israel, and there seems to be tzara after tzara after tzara. So we say, Hashem, we're in the middle of this, we know we're in the middle of this, but carry on, Shuvah Hashem Es Shevisenu, please continue to bring us all back and continue this salvation. There does also seem to be an interesting dialogue in our Mizmor. If you take a look, the Chida already points this out, but it seems to be basic pshat in the Psukim. And that is in Pasuk Beis to Gimel, when it says, Oz Yomru Vagoyim, the nations will say, Higdil Hashem La'asosimele, wow, Hashem has done great for this nation. We respond by saying, Higdil Hashem La'asos Imanu, Hashem did do great for us, Hayinu Kesemechem, we were happy. So there seems to be a dialogue between the nations and us about the way Hashem treats us in Jewish history, which seems to suggest it's towards the end of Jewish history where that perspective is gained. Another theme in this Mizmor is the time to laugh. It's interesting. The Mizmor says specifically, Azimole Sechoik Pinu, at this time when Hashem brings us all back, that's when our mouths will be filled with laughter. And the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Lamed Aleph Nun Aleph darshans from here a halacha. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Asul Adam Shimale Sechoik Piv Ba'olam Hazeh. It's not appropriate to be completely mouthful of laughter in this world. It's too much. This world is not about full joy while the Beis Hamikdash is in a state of destruction, while the world is not in a state of completion. So therefore, that's why it refers to the future, Oz Yamale Sechoik Pinu, only in the future. And sometimes we forget this halacha. We've been so accustomed to Golas, we're so accustomed to the entertainment industry, we just like to have, you know, unfettered abandon and just enjoy going to a club and hearing a comedian. That's not appropriate. So the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, that there should be something, there should always be an element, in a kuda, a place of sadness in our hearts, because the world is not in a place of perfection. There's so much that is hurtful, there's so much that's painful, so much that seems to be ungodly in this world because of the actions of human beings, that only us, only in the future do we see this. Which leads to one of the next themes, which is the idea of stages in life. It's interesting, one of the most famous psukim is Hazorim Bedimo Berino Yiktzoru. There's going to be a stage where we are sowing, we're putting the seeds into the ground, Bedimo, when we're crying, but Berino, there'll be a day when it'll come and enjoy Yiktzoru, we'll be able to harvest it. And this is true about everything in life. It's true about the times where we suffer, we invest, we sacrifice, and hopefully at the time we know that there's going to be a Berino Yiktzoru. We're hoping that if it may not be now, it'll be in the future where we have the opportunity of reaping the tears that we invested. The Me'ah Shilach, the Ishbitzer Rebbe, takes it one step further in terms of understanding these stages, and he says it could be referring to one human being at the beginning of their life, when a person's in formation, when a person's growing to be who they should and could become, at that point in life, they need to be exercising a lot of caution, a lot of straight and narrows. There's no messing around. There's no playing games. When they're learning Torah only. They're not doing anything else. I remember the Rebbe in Yeshiva says, Yeshiva is not a time for Gubinas Chasadim. There's other times in life where a person can go do all kinds of chesed projects. That's wonderful. When one's learning Torah at the very beginning, one wants to be able to do it right, because one's not going to get that chance to have unadulterated pure learning at that point in time. There needs to be, at the beginning of life, a person needs to be in a strict, in a disciplined environment. That's a Hazorim B'Dima. There has to be tears at the beginning. But later on, when a person's purified themselves, when it comes to the Katsira, the time of ultimately harvesting, then Barina Yuxaru. At that point in time, it can be Barina, there can be more Revach, it's in the Sade, it's in the field, which is more open out, says the Ishbitzer Rebbe, where a person is able to be able to have a little more latitude. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, it could actually be that this Mizmor is simply referring to an agricultural phenomenon. It could be the nation of Israel coming together and saying, Hashem, please allow us to have success, like in the past years, allow us that there should be rain, allow us that the plants should grow. And these seem to be the metaphors or the descriptions of the last two psukim. Hazarim b'dimu yiribarini yuksara, person, people who are sowing and plowing. Holecher e'elech uvocho noise meshach hazara, the zera, which is the seeds, and noise alum osov, carrying the bundles of hay. So it sounds like this is very much an agricultural description. And therefore, if we're to read the first part of the Mizmor, Shivas Tzion cannot mean necessarily about exile. It means perhaps about a good year, a year of good returns, a year of good investments. However, the other way of looking at it, and this is what most of the Mepharshim do, is they look at this as about the return of Golus. Hashem, you're going to return us. Please give us the opportunity of returning the Shavus Shivas Tzion, those who are exiled from Zion. Allow us to come back. Allow us to be able to return properly. And this perhaps could have been said initially at what we call Shivas Tzion, the second commonwealth, when Ezra and Nehemiah, when Zerubbabel, when Yeshua Kohen Gadol came back to the land of Israel, as we're going to be learning in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah and Haggai and Zechariah Malachi. At that point in time, only a fraction of the nation of Israel actually returned, and perhaps this Mizmor is being said about hopefully that Hashem will return the rest of the prisoners of Zion to their place. It is interesting, according to this, the agricultural ideas mentioned at the end of the Mizmor will really be the metaphors then. What it means to say is that the streams in the desert, Ka'afikim and Ba'negev, it's interesting, if anybody's ever visited the Ramon Crater, anybody's ever visited the Negev in Israel, the Negev Desert, it's interesting that there's something called a flash flood. The flash flood is when the rain comes very, very fast, and because the ground is not as fertile, doesn't absorb the water as fast, and therefore the water turns into flash floods, and a dry, arid environment can turn into a raging river within the span of literally an hour or two. And people being killed in these type of flash floods. And that's the image that this Mizmor is conjuring up. One is that it's sudden and unexpected. When the Geula is going to come, it's not going to be the way we look at it. It's not going to be when we look expected to look for it. And number two, it'll be like a flash flood in terms of volume. Suddenly there won't be drips and drabs and little bit drops here. It'll be suddenly a huge convergence of Klal Yisrael returning, Knesset Yisrael returning to the land of Israel. In terms of the places in our tefillah that this appears, this is the 7th of the 15 Shira Malos, so it appears, of course, in the Mincha of the Shabbos afternoon during the winter months, but it is also famously said on days of benching. One thing which needs to be clarified is that this was actually the secondary minag, meaning to say the first minag was that at the times we benched, as we went into exile, we started saying Al Naharos Bavel, Mizmor Kuf Lamed Zion, which is about on the rivers of Babylon, Shom Yashavnu Gamochinu Zochrenus Tzion, and we think about Zion from the outside, from the diaspora. And that was the predominant minag, is to think about Zion before we started benching. We'll get there when we get to that Mizmor. However, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when it's a day of joyous praise of Hashem, it's not appropriate to say Al Naharos Bavel. Al Naharos Bavel is a very, very intense, very hard Mizmor to swallow. Therefore, Shir HaMalos, this Mizmor, which also mentions Zion, but in an upbeat way, B'Shuv Hashem is Shivas Tzion, was replacing that. And ultimately, Al Naharos Bavel, unfortunately, has been a minhag which a lot of people do not say, do not like uphold anymore, although the Shir HaMalos did actually remain, which is what we're left with. But ultimately, it was the second step of that minhag of the Al Naharos Bavel in the first place. Another few places it appears in Adavim, the Sardim say this in the Nusach of Mincha al Tishabav. It's also the closing Mizmor of the Tikkun Chatzos according to the Arizal. And it is those who have the minag to say extra tefillos on Yom HaAtzmaut have the minag to say this Mizmor Shir HaMalos on Yom HaAtzmaut. And it's very beautiful to be in a place which is really a truly religious environment, where they celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut and the miracles that Hashem brought for us in this generation, where they sing the tune of HaTikva to Shir HaMaalos. To this Shir HaMaalos is a very moving experience. In terms of psukim or words in the spotlight, Pasuk Aleph, Shir HaMaalos v'Shuv Hashem Shiva Tzion Hayinu Kacholmim, we're like dreamers. What does it mean like a dream? So one way of looking at this is that what most of the Mefarshim do, the Chidah goes in this direction as well, is that when we experience all the suffering and the unrelenting persecution of millennia of exile, what's going to end up happening is through that period in time, we will at a certain point lose hope. But when the redemption does ultimately come, when that moment comes, at that moment in time, we'll look back and everything will be like a dream. Even though it looked so terrible, it'll just drift away in wisps of smoke. That's the way the Chidah says it. It wasn't real compared to the real reality of the Geula. However, the Al-Sheikh says it's the other way around. When we're in Golos and people tell us, there's Mashiach, Hashem will save us, the providence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay back. Sometimes we get so caught in that rut of Golos. We say, we smile, we say, yeah, Mashiach. We don't really believe. To us, it's like a dream. It's so fleeting. We can't even imagine the Geula. And therefore, Hayinu Kacholmim is about the Geula itself. I heard a beautiful story. Shlomo Kimchi, who's an educator in the land of Israel, was once at our shul for Shabbos. And he talked about his parents' story. His parents were people who tried and attempted to make Aliyah a number of times. And it really wasn't easy. The first time they had to go back. Second time was very difficult. And finally, they actually managed to settle in the land of Israel. And their children settled in the land of Israel. And their grandchildren now settled in the land of Israel. And they have a beautiful place where the kids' house in Efrat, where they have a sukkah on the merpeset on the top floor of the building, and it's a beautiful, beautiful sukkah. It's on a merpeset, a balcony which overlooks the Hare Yehuda, the mountains of Yehuda. And what they did is, what the grandchildren did, is they carved a window into the panel of the sukkah, and below it they wrote the following words. Ze lo chalom, ze chalon. This is not a dream, this is a window. When you look out of this, the play on words of chalon and chalom, is sometimes we only can dream of it, but sometimes, hopefully, we should merit that our dreams should become the window we look through in life to see the reality. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.